皆を呼び求める者は誰でも救われる。That, of course, is in the Japanese language, and I'm thankful that God speaks all languages, and that God can speak to hearts through His Word, regardless of what the language is. I am really and truly thrilled to be with you today. Friend Day.There is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, the Scripture says. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. I'm thankful that we have a Savior who has borne the sins of the whole world. And He has commanded us to go into all the world.And preach the gospel to every creature. The longer I'm at this thing called missions, the more thrilled I am about the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel of Christ?I have, I think. When I know I'm sitting beside of somebody on an airplane or some other form of transportation and I know the Holy Spirit is leading me to talk and I have to force myself to finally start up a conversation. But Paul said, and I think we should agree as Christians, I'm not ashamed.Of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God, did you think about that? How much power does God have? All power. He's omnipotent. There's nothing that God cannot do. He has all power.And He says to us, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Not the power of the missionary, not the power of the church, but the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Anyone and everyone can be saved.If they will hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the will of the Father in heaven that even one should perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And incidentally, that is the gospel. The gospel is more than a message. The gospel is a person.God incarnate in human flesh, who bore in His own body, He who knew no sin, bore in His own body the sins of the whole world. And that is the good news of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That verse goes on to say, to the Jew first,And also to the Greek, and I like to add, and also to the Japanese, and also to the Korean, and also to the Ethiopian, and also to, you could go on and list every nationality on the face of the earth, and the gospel excludes no one. Everyone that believeth.That's why it's so urgent that we give the gospel out. I would like to begin by thanking Faith Baptist Church for your faithfulness in sending missionaries around the world. I have had the awesome privilege of being one of your missionaries. And I know that you pray for your missionaries. And you have also been very consistent in your monthly support of your missionaries. And God has blessed your efforts. I find it difficult to stand here and believe that I went to Japan more than 51 years ago. I arrived in Japan on January the 5th, 1965. And God has blessed in so many ways. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. And I've got a lot I want to say to you in this little bit of time that I have, so you'll have to listen quickly. I'm going to try to talk fast, and you can listen fast. But there are some very unusual, and some of my favorite words of Scripture are found in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Every time I read that verse, Pastor, the first thing I think of is what the Scripture says, there's none good. No, not one. So see, it doesn't start with ourselves. There is no such thing as a good man. Only God is good. And God became a man in order to provide the only possible means of salvation for all of mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. And yet this verse says, the steps of a good man. As I think back over my life, God has been amazingly good to me. I was born into a very ungodly home. I didn't come from a Christian home. In fact, my own family was against me even going to church. But God reached down and saved me. I was an 11-year-old boy. Far as I know, I'd never been to church. My mother remarried when I was 9. I grew up with my grandmother. And when my mother remarried, she took me and we moved to a little coal mining camp in the hills of West Virginia. They had a church building, but they didn't have a church. You know, the facility is not what the church is. The church is the people, and there were no people meeting there. But a preacher came in, and he felt like the Lord was leading him to start a church in that church building. And so for 2 weeks, and back in those days, it wasn't unusual to have a revival meeting for 2 weeks. We used to do that quite frequently. But I went every night, first because there was nothing else to do in our little town. But the Lord got a hold of my heart. And on the last night, June the 21st, 1953, I didn't go home after the service was over. I was too bashful to go forward. But I waited outside on the concrete steps. And when the preacher was coming out, he turned off the lights and almost stumbled over me sitting on the steps there. And he looked down, and I think he was probably a little bit angry, and he said, "Ronnie, why are you still here?" In other words, he was going to have to deal with this little kid that didn't go home when he was supposed to. And I looked up at him, and actually with tears in my eyes, I said, "I want to be saved." And he sat down beside of me and took out his flashlight. Now, I don't know why he didn't turn the lights back on, but he didn't. And we sat there with the flashlight, and he led me to Christ right there on those steps. Afterwards, he said, "Son, do you have a Bible?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Well, here, I'll give you this one." And he gave me the Bible that he led me to the Lord with. I still have that Bible. It's a great treasure in my life. It has his name in gold letters on the front. And I praise the Lord for that. But to make a long story short, he continued there for about a year, making every effort to get a church started in that little community, but people just would not come. And finally, in discouragement, he decided to go somewhere else. And he told some of his preacher friends, he said, "I just do not understand it. I was so sure God led me there to start that church. But after a whole year, there was nobody saved except one little boy. And that one little boy was me." He introduced me to another church about 15 or 20 miles from where I lived. And I went, what we used to say, I went to church on my thumb. You know, I hitchhiked back and forth to church and fell in love with the church and with everything about it. But God was good in my life. When I was 12 years old, God called me to be a missionary. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The first and most essential step of life, in the journey of life, is the step of salvation. Are you absolutely sure that this Savior, who died for the sins of the whole world, is your Savior? See, that's the most important decision you will make in your earthly life, because it determines your everlasting life. So it's very important. Are you saved? I'm thankful that I do know Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. That made the difference in this life. And from that point on, the Lord began to lead. When I was 12 years old at a summer youth camp, the Lord called me to be a missionary. I'd never met nor heard a missionary, but when I heard about it, I surrendered my life at the age of 12 to be a missionary. So the first step that we all need to take, as our steps are ordered by the Lord, is the step of salvation. The second step we need to take is the step of submission. The path that I have trod has brought me nearer God, though oft it led through sorrow's gates. Though not the way I'd choose, in my way, I might lose the joy that yet for me awaits. Submission to the will of Him who guides me still is surety of His love revealed. My soul shall rise above this world in which I move. I conquer only where I yield, not where I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord will choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know. So let Him bid me go or stay. That's the words to a song that was sung at my and my wife's wedding. A little bit unusual. We had finished the rehearsal. We were just standing around the organ singing some of the old songs and teaching each other, friends from Bible college, songs that we had heard that we really liked. And this one was sung. And Odessa, my wife, and I looked at each other, and without saying a word, we knew that we wanted that song sung at our wedding. Now, my wife's aunt, now she wasn't an aunt, she was an aunt. Do you know the difference between an aunt and an aunt? Well, this was an aunt, and she was coordinating our wedding. Thankfully, she financed most of it. But she said, "Oh, there is no way we can change the wedding now. We cannot change the program. It's already been printed. Everything's already done." And I looked at her, and as graciously as I knew how, I said, "It's our wedding." And thankfully, my wife had another aunt that agreed with me. And she said, "It is their wedding." And so we had that song sung. And from that point on, though it's not a Bible verse. It is Bible truth. We sought to live our lives based on the words that were sung at our wedding. Not what we wish to be, not where we wish to go. For who are we that we should choose our way? The Lord will choose for us. 'Tis better far, I know, so let Him bid me go or say. That's exactly what Paul did on the Damascus Road. As soon as he recognized that he had come face to face with his Lord, Jesus Christ, the second question that came from his mouth was the question that should come from every born-again Christian's mouth. Lord, what would you have me to do? Isn't it unique? The first question was, who art thou? And then before he finished his question, he answered it. Who art thou, Lord? And as soon as he recognized who he was, he surrendered his life and said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your plan for my life? The step of salvation, then the step of submission to the will of God. And then step number three is surrender to the will of God. This is a day-by-day leadership. You know, aren't you thankful? I am. That God didn't tell you everything at the beginning. There's no way I could have had the courage to go forward if I'd known everything that was coming. But step by step, the Lord provided the leadership. He provided the ability. Faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If He started it, He's going to finish it. And you know, I'm thankful that my limitations do not limit Him in any way. My weaknesses do not affect Him because His strength is made perfect in weakness. That's why, and I need to move on, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I wish I had time to go through each of the many steps. I was at that youth camp because somebody else paid my way. I don't even know who it was. I think when I get to heaven, the Lord will introduce, but I know probably who it was, but I'm not for sure. But I do know that after that, the Lord provided for me to go to a Christian high school for about 2 years. And then my stepdad, one Monday morning, I was getting ready to leave early to go back to the high school. We stayed there four nights a week. And it was in Beckley, West Virginia. And my stepdad said, you're not going there. Get in the car. And he took me and enrolled me in the public school. And there's nothing wrong with public school if that's where God wants you to be. But I didn't think God wanted me to be there, but evidently He did. But God blessed, and the steps were still being ordered by the Lord, even though I was heartbroken. Many of the heartbreaking events of my life after the fact were so obviously the plan of God for my life that I shouldn't ever question something that's coming before me because it's always been God's direct hand. We started a Bible club in our high school. And by the end of the second year, before I graduated from high school, that Bible club grew from 3 to over 300. Numbers of students. In fact, there are 11 that I know of in full-time Christian service now that were in those classes that I was in at Sherman High School in Boone County, West Virginia. We had a banquet on prom night because we didn't feel that was a good thing for Christian young people to go to. And it was the young people that planned it. The adults, even some of the Christian adults, were saying, no, you don't need to do something like that. Do it on a different night. Or we were called into the office a long time. But we had more young people at the banquet than they had at the prom. See, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord wanted me in that Christian high school for 2 years, but then He wanted me in that public school for 2 more years. And God blessed. When I told my dad, my stepdad, that I was going to go to Bible college instead of accepting the scholarship that I'd gotten from West Virginia University, fully paid, well, almost fully paid. I had to sign a contract to teach in the schools of West Virginia for 7 years after I graduated, which was kind of a binding contract, and it became a loan if I didn't do the teaching. And I knew God wanted me on the mission field. I knew with all my heart. So when I told my stepdad, he said, well, you can stay in this house until you graduate from high school, but if you haven't changed your mind by then, you're not staying here anymore. And he meant it. I didn't understand that. It was a heartbreaking thing. But a few years later, I got to Japan, and I was sitting in the little office of the Kansai Independent Baptist Bible College there, and student after student would come in, and they'd say, I don't have anywhere to go. My family has disowned me. And I was able to sit there and say, well, you know, I think I understand. The same thing happened to me. And they would always say, in America? I thought America was a Christian nation. I said, no, it's not. And I understand, and God will meet every need that you have. And some of those that I was able to say that to across that desk have been pastoring in Japan for 50 years. God did meet every need that they had. And many of them saw their own parents come to know Christ as Savior, some of them 30, 40 years after the fact. But God blessed. You see, what I'm trying to illustrate to you through this meager life is that God does order every step of your life. God knows what He's doing. Not the way I'd choose. In my way, I might lose the joy that I'm now experiencing. What if I had not followed in the footsteps of the Lord? I cannot imagine what life would have been like. Can I make a confession to you? I stand here owing a great debt of gratitude to folk like you. Because God has used you to enable me to spend my life as a missionary on the mission field. I can't repay you. I think it was a lot like Paul when he wrote Philippians 4. When he said, you've done well to communicate to me. You've provided for my needs. Not because I need you, because I can do all things through Christ. But I do wish I could pay you back. I wish there was some way. And then he gives us that marvelous verse that we all love. But my God, I can't do anything to pay you back, but I have a God. The one who's taken care of me, He's going to take care of you too. My God shall supply all your need. Do you remember some of the valleys that your church has been through? And I know this church has been through a few valleys. But did He not keep His promises? Is He not still keeping His promises? See, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But not only the steps of a good man. Look at the next verse, verse 24. Though he fall, and he will, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but I'm also thankful that the stumblings of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I've stumbled many times, but God has always been there. See, the stumblings that we come to in life do some things for us. Number one, it produces humility. You know, when God blesses you so abundantly, I've seen at least 97 churches started in Japan because of our Bible college and because of the ministries I've been involved in Japan. I've helped to send out Japanese missionaries to 22 different foreign countries. And all of them are supported 100% by Japanese churches, not American churches. See, those are your grandchildren. You sent me, then we were able to send others. And God has blessed so abundantly with churches started and souls saved. It would be easy to get kind of self-satisfied. Look what I've done. And the Lord brings in the stumblings just to remind me that I really haven't done any of it. I often get to talk now to younger missionaries on the way to the mission field. And one of the things, I think it's a phrase I've coined, I'm not sure. Probably somebody else has said it before. But is this, God has called you to do a work that you cannot do. He will do it in and through and with you. And in my case, most of the time, in spite of me. And then one day when we stand before Him, He'll reward us as if we'd done it ourselves. See, that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. God allows us to fail enough times to remind us that without Him, we can't do anything. That we're totally dependent upon the power of God. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't have supporting churches like this. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't have the health I have to, at the age of 74, almost 75, to be traveling all over the world. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when I fail, it teaches me to be humble. It provides His help. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. See, the Lord brings His hand in. Remember when Peter was so boastful? He got out of that boat and was walking on top of the water. Incidentally, let's don't be too critical of Peter. He's walked more than I have on water. If he took two steps, that's two more steps than I've ever taken. And there were still 11 in the boat. So before we criticize him for sinking, let's remember. I sometimes tell that to people that are talking about missionaries, the missionary casualties, you know, the ones that have failed. And you all know some that are not on the mission field now that used to be. I've never met one that wanted to fail. And I've often thought, if we had prayed as we should have prayed, maybe they wouldn't have failed. So it's easy to criticize the one who sinks in the water if you've never gotten out of the boat. But there was Peter. He was walking on the water. And then all the circumstances around him, the waves and the wind. And last week you saw some of that wind and you'd have been afraid too if you'd have been on that water. And he started to sink. But he knew what to do, didn't he? He said, Lord, save me. And then that almighty hand came under Peter, picked him up out of that water and kept right on walking back to the boat. and didn't even sink a centimeter into the water with the weight of Peter. And many times when we think we're going to sink to the bottom, if we'll look closer, we'll find out that we're actually resting in His hand and He's taking care of us. See, even the stumblings of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then I have one more, and I've got five more minutes, Pastor. The next verse says, I have been young, and now am old. Let me give you some advice I got from my mother-in-law one time. She said, it is great to get older, but don't ever get old. I think that's good advice for all of us. If you don't get older, you die. But if you get old, you might as well be dead. You see, old is a state of mind. We have a 102-year-old brother right here. He doesn't act old to me. He talks bright. He's got life. That's an encouragement to me to just keep right on keeping on. Being faithful to the Lord. I have been young, now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Number one, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Number two, the stumblings of a good man are even ordered by the Lord. And then number three, the seasons of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Wherever you are right now, you're still in His hand. And He still has a plan for the rest of your life. If He didn't have, you wouldn't be here. God has a plan. And each season has a special thing. I remember I was 21 years old when I married. In 1963... in May, I graduated from Bible college. My wife and I graduated in the same graduating class. In August of 1963, we got married. And in November of 1963, we were accepted as missionaries with Baptist International Missions. And since that time, through many different seasons of life, when we first went to the mission field, we had no children. God gave us three children while we were on the mission field. Now I have 12 grandchildren. Each part, each phase, each season of life, we should not complain because of where we are right now. We should go back to our Damascus road and say, Lord, okay, here I am. What would you have me to do now? What do you want for me right now? Did you know that Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice? Is just as true today as it was when you were a teenager? You have every responsibility to say, Lord, this is the only body I've got now. It has sickness, it has weakness, it has frailty, it has a limited amount of time left in the future. But Lord, I give my body right now as a living sacrifice to you. It all starts, don't forget, with the first step of salvation. Are you sure you're saved? Then secondly, have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? It can start now. I like what someone has said, and I've heard it over and over again. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And it is. It is. No matter what happened yesterday, good or bad, you can't change it. But you can start right now and change tomorrow. and you can have a testimony for Jesus Christ, and you can have an influence for Jesus Christ for the rest of your life, whether it be a year or 20 years. It makes no difference. You see, because the steps of a good Lord, man are ordered by the Lord. And if you can still take a step, then God wants to control and direct that step. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And quit trying to understand. You know, every time we try to understand God's plan, we end up with a misunderstanding. Well, His ways are past finding out. But He's trustworthy. And you can trust Him. No matter how. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then guess what? You all know it. What will He do? He will direct your path. And how do you walk on a path? One step at a time. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And even when you fail, He's still there with His hand to uphold you and set you up right, lift you up. Sometimes we have to be like that old TV commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. Did you ever have to pray that in your spiritual life? You do. You do. But guess what? He's always there to lift you up. Thank you very much.